My beloved brethren and sisters, we greet you again in a great worldwide conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Alma declared, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, and cry repentance unto every people." We've reached a point where we can almost do that. The proceedings of this conference will be carried across the world, and the speakers will be heard and seen by Latter-day Saints on every continent. We have come a very long way in realizing the fulfillment of the vision set forth in the book of Revelation. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." What a tremendous occasion this is, my brothers and sisters. It is difficult to comprehend. We speak from this marvelous conference center. I know of no other building to compare with it. We are as one great family, representatives of the human family, in this vast and beautiful world. Many of you participated in the dedication of the Nauvoo Temple last June. It was a great and marvelous occasion, one to be long remembered. We not only dedicated a magnificent building, a house of the Lord, but we also dedicated a beautiful memorial to the prophet Joseph Smith. In 1841, 2 years after he came to Nauvoo, he broke ground for a house of the Lord that should stand as a crowning jewel to the work of God. It is difficult to believe that in those conditions and under those circumstances, a structure of such magnificence was designed to stand on what was then the frontier of America. I seriously doubt that there was another structure of such design and magnificence in all the state of Illinois. It was to be dedicated to the work of the Almighty to accomplish His eternal purposes. No effort was spared, no sacrifice was too great. Through the next 5 years, men chiseled stone and laid footings and foundation, walls and ornamentation. Hundreds went to the north, there to live for a time to cut lumber, vast quantities of it, and then bounded together to form rafts which were floated down the river to Nauvoo. Beautiful moldings were cut from that lumber. Pennies were gathered to buy nails. Unimaginable sacrifice was made to procure glass. They were building a temple to God, and it had to be the very best of which they were capable. In the midst of all of this activity, the prophet and his brother Hiram were killed in Carthage on the 27th of June, 1844. None of us living today can comprehend what a disastrous blow that was to the saints. Their leader was gone. He, the man of visions and revelations, he was not only their leader, he was their prophet. Great was their sorrow, terrible their distress. But Brigham Young, president of the Quorum of the Twelve, picked up the reins. Joseph had placed his authority upon the shoulders of the apostles. Brigham determined to finish the temple, and the work went on. By day and by night, they pursued their objective, notwithstanding all of the threats hurled against them by lawless mobs. In 1845, they knew they could not stay in the city they had built from the swamplands of the river. They knew they must leave. It became a time of feverish activity, first to complete the temple, and secondly to build wagons and gather supplies to move into the wilderness of the West. Ordnance work was begun before the temple was entirely completed. It went on feverishly until in the cold of the winter of 1846, the people began to close the doors of their homes, and wagons moved slowly down Parley Street to the water's edge, then across the river and up the banks on the Iowa side. Movement continued. The river froze over. It was so bitter cold. But that made it possible for them to move on the ice. Back to the east, they looked for the last time to the city of their dreams and the temple of their God. Then they looked to the west to a destiny they did not know. The temple was subsequently dedicated, and those who dedicated it said amen and moved on. The building was later burned by an arsonist who almost lost his life in the evil process. A tornado finally toppled most of what was left. The house of the Lord, the great objective of their labors, was gone. Nauvoo became almost a ghost city. It faded until it almost died. The site of the temple was plowed and planted. The years passed, and there slowly followed an awakening. Our people, descendants of those who once lived there, had stirred within them the memories of their forebears with a desire to honor those who had paid so terrible a price. Gradually, the city came alive again, and there was a restoration of parts of Nauvoo. Under the prompting of the Spirit and motivated by the desires of my father, who served as mission president in that area and who wished to rebuild the temple for the centennial of Nauvoo but was never able to do so, we announced in the April conference of 1999 that we would rebuild that historic edifice. Excitement filled the air. Men and women came forth with a desire to be helpful. Large contributions of money and skills were offered. Again, no expense was spared. We were to rebuild the house of the Lord as a memorial to the prophet Joseph and as an offering to our God. On the recent 27th of June, in the afternoon, at about the same time, Joseph and Hiram were shot in Carthage 158 years earlier, we held a dedication of the magnificent new structure. It is a place of great beauty. It stands on exactly the same site where the original temple stood. Its outside dimensions are those of the original. It is a fitting and appropriate memorial to the great prophet of this dispensation, Joseph the Seer. How grateful I am. How profoundly grateful for what has happened. Today, facing west, on the high bluff overlooking the city of Nauvoo, thence across the Mississippi and over the plains of Iowa, there stands Joseph's temple, a magnificent house of God. Here in the Salt Lake Valley, facing east to that beautiful temple in Nauvoo, stands Brigham's temple, the Salt Lake Temple. They look toward one another as bookends between which there are volumes that speak of the suffering, the sorrow, the sacrifice, even the deaths of thousands who made the long journey from the Mississippi River to the valley of the Great Salt Lake. Nauvoo became the 113th working temple. We've since dedicated another in The Hague, Netherlands, making 114 in all. These wonderful buildings of various sizes and architectural designs are now scattered through the nations of the earth. They have been constructed to accommodate our people in carrying forward the work of the Almighty, whose design it is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. These temples have been constructed to be used. We honor our Father as we make use of them. At the opening of this conference, I urge you, my brethren and sisters, to utilize the temples of the church. Go there and carry forward the great and marvelous work which the God of heaven has outlined for us. There let us learn of his ways and his plans. There let us make covenants that will lead us in paths of righteousness, unselfishness, and truth. There let us be joined as families under an eternal covenant administered under the authority of the priesthood of God. And there may we extend these same blessings to those of previous generations, even our own forebears, who await the service which we can now give. May the blessings of heaven rest upon you, my beloved brethren and sisters. May the spirit of Elijah touch your hearts and prompt you to do that work for others who cannot move forward unless you do so. May we rejoice in the glorious privilege that is ours. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.